Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis and chapter 22. I want to preach God's love for sinners this morning. It goes right along with what we just heard musically. And it's a great, great passage of Scripture. I pray that I can communicate it in the power of God this morning. Now, I remember last year, and it was the beginning of October, the end of September, the beginning of October of 2019. And I remember hearing the North Korean dictator, rocket man there, Kim Jong-un, making this statement. And some of you may remember this. I know some of you will remember this if you watch, you know, certain news programs. He made this statement. America, this is after he came back on his train from two trips to Beijing, China. He came back and said, America is going to receive a Christmas surprise. COVID-19. I remember when he said that, I laughed. I said, what, are they going to send a missile? They can't even get it over Japan. You know, just a lot of saber rattling. Now I look back, and America and the church always prepared for a frontal attack. Always prepared for a false message. I'm talking about fundamental churches. And the devil threw a left hook that we did not see coming. And I'm talking about COVID-19. I'm talking about a virus. I'm not trying to over-politicize this. I'm just saying, you just look at the big picture and you see how things are working out. You see, churches have literally closed down and they're relying on live stream. What happens when that goes? There are those that over a period of weeks and months have left fellowshipping with God. Now, I say that, I want to preface this whole message. This isn't a political message. I'm going to get right into Genesis and chapter 22. You need to understand, these are the last days in which we are living. And the devil does not play by the rules. And he's got churches no longer meeting. That's a dangerous thing. Praise God for the Supreme Court ruling in the favor of churches in New York State. That's a precedent that's going to continue through the nation. And I'm not saying, let's not be idiots. And I'm just telling you, I'm not kicking people when they're down. I'm not, man, if you're vulnerable, but the devil plays on fear and division. That's always been part of his arsenal. He plays on fear and division because there's spiritual wickedness. Going back to this virus thing, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to know that. You got to know that. If you thought the last days the devil was going to fight by the rules, you're wrong. You're completely wrong. So there's spiritual wickedness in high places and people calling shots that really have no spiritual guidance, and they call shots, and we understand that. And we're not deniers. We know that COVID-19 is real. But at the same time, if it were a bullet, would you stand up and come for God too? I mean, one way or another, the devil has attacked his church. Bless God for fundamental Baptist churches. You know, even right now, most churches aren't meeting in the state of Michigan. Thank God. And as long as I have breath, even if only five of us get together, we'll live stream and we're going to have a church service. And I thank God for those of you that are faithful even now. And the new people that don't know any better. And here you are in church this morning. And I look around, there's people from wall to wall and front to back, and there's emptiness in different spots of the auditorium. There's an empty spot there and there. That's empty over there. And Pastor Bill and Ray are there, but that's empty there. And there's empty places, different places. That was a joke, by the way, all right? It's empty where they are. And so thank God, Fundamental Baptist Church, God has still blessed, is still in the business of saving souls and blessing his church. There's a God in heaven that loves sinners. Now stand up. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I'm available. I'm yours. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We pray for your presence and we pray for your power, your enabling. God, help this weak preacher to share the word of God. May the Holy Spirit anoint the scripture, enlighten us, open our ears to the truth, our minds to the word of God. And we pray that we would understand today there's a God in heaven, a holy God in heaven that loves sinners. And we thank you for it. Oh God, thank you for your love. And before this message is through, may we be loving you closer to the way we ought to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. God asked Abraham to do the unthinkable. He's already made promises to Abraham. Abraham is now about approximately 115 years of age. No exaggeration. All right? He was 100 years of age before his son was born. So Abraham is an old man. He has received the son of promise. He was given a promise by God that he would have a child of promise, not by Hagar, but he'd be the child of promise, the promise of his wife. It'd be the spiritual child. And he waited 25 years for that to happen. He gets to about 100 years of age, and finally Sarah is pregnant and a son is born to him. And they call his name Isaac, and they refer to him as the child, the son of promise. And he understands God made a promise to him that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through this child of promise. God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham, 430 years before the law, a man of God in a world of evil. God makes a promise to Abraham: because of your faithfulness, I've imputed to you righteousness, that being the very righteousness of God. And your seed will number the sands, the number of sands, the grains of sand on the seashores, the number of stars in the sky. Abraham, I am going to make of you a great nation, and it's coming through Isaac. Now Abraham's 115 years old, and God says, I want you to go to Mount Moriah, the future place of Jerusalem, the future hill where the temple would be built, where the altar is going to be. I want you to go to Mount Moriah and take Isaac, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. God asked Abraham to do the unthinkable. Now, this is a test. And I would remind you that today's tests are tomorrow's testimonies, if we'll follow God. God was never going to let Abraham do this. But first of all, I want you to see Abraham's great faith. I look at Abraham and I'm thinking, man, I'm small. I just don't have a lot of faith. I don't trust God the way I ought to. You understand, this is the child that he loves. This is the child of promise. He sees in Isaac, when he saw Isaac as a little baby, a little infant in clothes, he saw the promise of God, a covenant God made with Abraham, going to be fulfilled through this child. He recognized that. When he was younger and he was growing up, through his growing up years, you know, he looked at his son Isaac over his shoulder, maybe without Isaac knowing it, and he was proud of Isaac. Isaac has great faith. Like Abraham has great faith. Let's read again verse 1. We're only going to go to about 10, 12 verses this morning. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here I am. And again, Abraham is always available. He's always within the sound of God's voice. Without even knowing what God is going to ask, he says, here I am. I'm here. What is it you desire? Man, don't you wish you served God like that? You could. Verse 2 says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son. He knows what he's going to ask of Abraham. He asked Abraham to do what he would not allow Abraham to do, but he was going to do himself. It's a great picture. He said, take now thy son, thine only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. The love between God the Father and God the Son. And get thee into the land of Moriah. It means chosen by God. And offer him. Abraham's heart had to skip a beat right there. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Can you imagine Abraham's heart? Oh Lord, you wouldn't ask that. Oh God. 3 days' journey they went. Those were 3 sleepless nights for Abraham. He's going to offer his only son. He's going to do it in faith. because he knows what God has promised. Let's read on. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, Abraham, remember, is about 115 years of age. And Isaac, his son, who likely he could be as young as 12, he could have been 15, 16, 17, could have been 18 years of age. We are not privy to that exactly, but we know he's young. And clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So he's on a pilgrimage. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. 3 days of anguish. 3 sleepless nights. On the third day. I don't know if you can go there emotionally this morning. I can kind of go in that direction, but I pull back. He knows he's on the third day. He looks up. He sees the mountain. He knows where God is leading. He looks over and he sees his teenage boy, maybe his 12-year-old boy. He knows where this is going and what God has asked him to do and told him to do. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. This is interesting wording. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I circled this. He already knows what God has told him to do. He's being obedient. And he says, and come again to you. He says that by way of faith. Myself and the lad, we're going to climb that mountain the rest of the way. God has told me to offer him as a sacrifice. I don't know if he shared that with the servants or even his son yet. Isaac's wondering what's going on. Isaac no doubt hears this, and Abraham says, a little poetic license. I don't know for sure he heard it, but I think he did. All right. And Abraham says to his servants, you stay here, we'll be back. Both of us. I'm obeying God. Let's go to Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11, if you would turn there quickly. I'll leave my pitiful little outline here and kind of just let the Spirit lead me this morning. On. I was going to go to this eventually, but I'm going to it right now. Hebrews in chapter 11, by faith, verse 8. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So Abraham's been living a life of faith. And he went out not knowing whether he went. That's faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. That's what Abraham did. He embraced the promises of God and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A lot of things on earth don't make sense. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now here it is. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, that's what we're reading about in Genesis and chapter 22, offered up Isaac. He offered him. Isaac actually got up on the altar. He was actually bound. Abraham had the knife in his hands. By faith, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He had promises of God, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham, in faith, was offering his son. Knowing that even if blood was shed there on the altar, that God forbid, that he would actually ask Abraham to slay his son and shed his blood, he knew that God had raised him up. Because God made promises concerning the child of promise. Abraham had that kind of faith. Put a gun to his head and threatened him with a bullet. He was still going to honor God. It mattered not. He had that kind of faith. Verse 17 again, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now you know there was a great struggle those 3 days of journey. There had to be great anguish as he was climbing Mount Moriah the rest of the way with his son Isaac. And Isaac was carrying the wood that would be used to be put on the altar. And then Isaac would willingly get up on that altar. That's Isaac's faith. But Abraham has great faith in God. You may be tested from time to time. I want to ask you this question this morning. What kind of faith do you have in your Savior, in your God? God is going to ask you and I, if we are in the last days, and we are indeed in the last days, to show some faith, to do some things that may be out of the ordinary, not against the Word of God, but out of the ordinary. And He may ask us, and He is going to require of us, He's asking of us to say like Abraham, here am I. What is it you need? What is it you so desire? Let's go back to Genesis in chapter 22. Abraham did not understand what God was going to do, how He was going to accomplish His promises, but he understood that he needed to obey God, and he did. His obedience was real. He did not understand what God had asked him to do, why God had asked him to do it. This is big. But he understood the character of God. He knew he could trust Him. He knew that his God was able. He did not understand why God was asking him to take the child of promise, his only son, and go three days journey, and then climb the rest of the way up Mount Moriah and have his son Isaac bear the wood for the sacrifice. He did not understand why, but he understood the character, the holiness of God. Now this is going somewhere. This is a picture of God's great love for sinners. He didn't ask you to go to hell. He didn't ask you to give your son's life that others may escape hell. But he did so himself. That's how much God loves sinners. Let's go back. Genesis chapter 22, verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and will worship and come again to you. That's faith. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. I don't want to humanize this. I just want to make it real. Do you understand while that wood was being prepared back in the home place, and perhaps Abraham himself was splitting that wood and getting it ready, he knew what it was for. Can you understand? Can you identify with the conflict? What God was asking him to do. 3 days' journey, gets two servants, gets an animal, a beast of burden, his son Isaac. They load up the wood, and for 3 days they journey. And every night, Abraham goes to bed at night in conflict. That's faith. Then he tells his two servants, you stay here, the lad and I, we're going forth. Isaac, pick up the wood. And they went forth, but we'll both come back again. Faith. He didn't know how. This is how God works. He makes a way when there is no way. If we'll just follow Him. Sometimes we're asked to do some things that don't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But He always makes a way when there is no way, when we're obeying Him, when we are following Him. Go back to Genesis in chapter 22 again. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Did Abraham's voice quiver? I think so. I'm sure it cut him to the heart. Here's the wood. There's the fire. I know we're going to offer sacrifice, but Dad, where's the sacrifice? It says they went together. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know the anguish in God's heaven as Jesus was going through the steps leading up to Calvary? Different events, things that were going on. Can you see the angels in heaven at the precipice of heaven just waiting for Jesus to give the nod they'd come and wipe this world out? But yet, he took the shame and the beatings and shed the blood and was nailed to the cross and the mockings and for 6 hours hung there in infamy, suspended between heaven and earth, as the sins of every generation, every single person was put on his body and he became the sin bearer. Oh, Abraham and Isaac went together. Let's read on, verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son," I circled this. This is so good. "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. That's all Isaac had to hear. God will provide. It'd be good if our children heard that from their parents. God will provide. I don't know what's going on in our life right now, but I do know this. God's on the throne. And God will provide. By the way, I may not get to it. I'm going to try to get to it. If you were to draw, you were to circle "God will provide" in verse 8 and draw it down to the words "a ram" in verse 13, that would be proper exegeting of Scripture there. Jesus said, it was said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You understand that Jesus is the very Lamb of God that went to Calvary in our place? God the Father and God the Son, they together went and marched up the hill of Calvary, and Jesus bore the cross as Isaac bore the wood until he could no longer bear it physically, humanly. It was impossible with all the suffering and the torture that he went through. You understand that God provided a way for sinners to go to heaven, and he didn't require Isaac to die, and he didn't require Abraham to die. He went to the cross. He didn't require Tim Rader to go to hell, or Tim Rader to somehow offer his own sacrifice. He took my place. Let's go on. Verse 9 says, "And they came to the place which God hath told him of. And Abraham built an altar there." By the way, that's Mount Moriah. That's the very place of the temple. That's the very place of the altar in the temple. And it's like from that spot on earth, great dealings were going to be done from heaven and to the peoples out here on this earth. Great sacrifice was going to be made. By the way, that's where Calvary is. That's where Jesus went to the cross. Verse 9 says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar," or on the altar, upon the wood. I can see this. Abraham's putting the wood on the altar. Isaac's watching. It's the job of the patriarch to do so. And with every piece of wood, he sets in order and in its proper place. His heart is constricting and getting heavier. And then he binds his son, Isaac's faith. I got to tell you, Isaac was brought up right. Isaac knew the promises that were given to his father Abraham. You know, it was rehearsed again and again and again. Isaac had great faith. Now, I used to think that Abraham, being the old man, at least 112, probably 115, 118 years of age, that him being the old man, that he probably just told Isaac to get up on the altar and Isaac got up. I don't think that happened. It says, Abraham, look what it says here, and I never saw this before reading it this time. It says, "and laid him on the altar upon the wood." There's a picture, God the Father giving his son. The great sacrifice made for our sins. Where God the Father, Abraham says, "Son, let me tie you up." And Abraham and Isaac says, "Okay." And he binds his son. And here's a 115-year-old man taking his strapping teenage boy and grunting and getting him up and putting him on the altar. Not only was Jesus willing to die for us, God the Father was willing to send him. Do you understand that? The great price that was paid for our sins. Verse 10. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son," man of faith. "And the angel," and we already know what it says in Hebrews, he knew God would raise him up. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I." What relief. "And he said, Lay not thy son thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." The substitutionary Lamb. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus did for us, for our great sin. And Abraham called the name of the place, this is an understatement, Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord provideth. I'm going to heaven because the Lord provideth. I have eternal life and forgiveness of sins, not because of anything I've ever done in my life to merit it, but because the Lord provideth. And there was a time in my life I repented of my sin and received Jesus, the Lamb of God, as my Savior. Slain from the foundation of the world, the scripture says in the book of Revelation. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let me read just a few more verses. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. He reiterates the promise, the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Abrahamic promise. Understand this. In this day of COVID-19, if you will honor God, if you'll honor him, God will honor you. The devil plays with fear and division. Don't go there. Don't ask for God's judgment. Don't go there. As the church of Jesus Christ, let's be united right up until the sound of the trumpet. And we'll just find a way. And for some, it is live streaming. And for some, they are fearful. And for some, there is sickness. And there, some, there is a vulnerability. I got to tell you something, those of you that are live streaming, there are people here in the auditorium this morning, they're vulnerable too. And they're not young, but they're here. And God will bless that. Abraham, man, he went out, he marched up Mount Moriah, verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham said, this is a Tim Rader paraphrase. When the day was done, he said, I sure do love God. Can you hear Abraham and Isaac singing as they came down the mountainside? A little poetic license here. I'm going to find out if it isn't true, but I know the joy of the Lord, and I'm sure it was true. I'm sure the two servants of Abraham, they were seated around a campfire, and they heard some singing before they actually saw their patriarch. They saw Abraham, and they saw Isaac. They probably heard them singing coming down the mountain. Oh, here they come. They're coming together just like Abraham said they would. We worship a great God. You got to know that. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. If you're here in the auditorium or you're watching by way of live stream and you've never received Christ as your Savior, there's never been that God-conscious moment when you understood you were a sinner lost and undone and you took and you received Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary, the finished work of the Son of God who bled out for the sins of mankind and then rose again on the third day after going to the grave. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. Make this your moment. When you call upon God and ask him to save you, and he will save you right now this morning. I again recall your attention to John 3:16. 25 of the greatest words that have ever been uttered. I wrote it in the flyleaf of my Bible right beside Genesis and chapter 22. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. All you need to do is with your heart, believe on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.